The series Taking the Land Together. We were in there for about 11, 12 weeks, and I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Pastor Brad brought this amazing message called Clearing the Stage. How many of you guys caught his message? It's amazing. Let me just recap very quickly. He talked about making a decision that you don't follow a leader who is not clearly intentional about where he or she stands. That you hear the challenge, that in Joshua 24, later in that chapter, he made it really hard for people to serve because he wanted them to know what this relationship was going to require. And then he also talked about clearing the stage, putting away your idols. If you were here in the second service last week, you saw him just shoving things off and really letting them know that it's gone, it needs to be gone, and have your heart leaning and inclining to God. Great message. Now we are in a new series going into the new year called Christmas Together. We took the land together. We're taking the land. Christmas, celebrate this time of Christmas together. Now, preparing for Christmas, you guys, look, Christmas has been going on since August. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's been showing up. It was in Cracker Barrel. You know, it's like it kind of starts really, really early. But it just seems like it's been here forever. But this is now we're getting into the mode of buying a tree or putting up the tree, decorating the tree, beginning to decorate our houses. Some people have had their houses decorated since September. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been going on. We start looking forward to seeing family and friends. Like if we travel, we got to figure out where is Nala and Bear going to go, our two dogs, who's going to take care of them. There's some prep work. We're making sure things are getting checked off the list, like gifts, cards. Some of us are going to have to do some home repairs in anticipation of somebody coming over and buying groceries. So we just watched a video talking about Advent, which was so awesomely described, but I want to go ahead and light the first candle, which represents joy. Everybody say joy. And I'm going to do my best to do this. How'd I do? All right, there we go. Amen. Yeah. So guys, if we light the candle of joy, it's basically the joy of knowing that something exciting is about to happen. Joy, that there's something exciting that is about to happen. And in all seriousness, we begin preparing our hearts and our lives for what Christ is going to do in us and through us. We are preparing to celebrate life. We are preparing to celebrate Jesus who came and changed everything. So this morning's message is entitled, Preparing Together. And I'm going to start reading in the book of Mark, chapter 1. A little bit of reading here, but just stay with me. And it says this right here, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness and all the people baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John, who wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I loved, and you I am well pleased. Now, just to let you know, I tried to get my father to speak for you guys this Sunday. I tried. And he didn't want to, he wanted to hear me, so there's a lot of pressure on me right now because he is my favorite speaker of all time. So, what we know and when we don't usually think of John the Baptist around Christmas time, let's be honest, okay? There's no Christmas hymns dedicated to him. You know, we don't sing about locusts and honey, locusts and, you know, we're not, he does not appear in any manger scene. He's never seems to be focused on in all the Christmas plays that go on. But in observance of Advent, the person and the message of John the Baptist is significant in our preparation for the celebration of Christmas. So let me expand a little bit. What we just read is that John the Baptist is preparing the way. He's preparing. He's making a way for the Lord. He's baptizing people in repentance and baptizing them in water. But I want to give you two scriptures that comes out of the Old Testament, prophesied hundreds and close to thousands of years before. From Malachi 3, 1 and 2, I will send my messenger, who will come to his temple, who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. And then in Isaiah 43, it says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So this is who John the Baptist was. This is exactly what John the Baptist did. He fulfilled prophecy. He prepared the way for Jesus. Let me give you a little bit more scripture. In Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And then Luke 3:3-6, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book in the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. When I think about what we're doing here as a church, why we gather here every Sunday is that we're not here just to waste time. Could you guys agree with me on that? That we're not here to take up space. You know, that we're not here just to fight to reserve a chair or reserve chairs. You know, look, I don't know if you're guilty of this. If you get upset when somebody sits in your chair, that's not why we're here. You know what I mean? But we're not here to sing songs just to fill out a worship flow chart. Guys, we are here because our Lord Jesus is returning one day for each and every one of us. That Yeshua HaMashiach is on his way, and there is a responsibility on you and me to prepare the way for his coming. Amen. We are a church that is full of life. We are a church that loves people. And we are not here just to make a name for ourselves. There's a t-shirt that I wear. I just got this recently. And it says, unknown locally and heavenly known. And let me tell you what happens when I wear this shirt. Like your shirt, where did you... More people stop me to say, I like your shirt. Where did you get it? What does it mean? You know, it's just conversation after conversation after conversation. And you know what's going on here is, believe it or not, when I wear that shirt, I'm preparing the way. Because it gives me an opportunity to talk about Christ with people. Guys, listen to this. I'm not here to bring fame to Matt Stewart. You know, I'm here to help in any find the famous one who is Jesus Christ. I'd rather be known by God than be known by man. And that was the attitude of John the Baptist. We are not here to lift up the name of Harvest. We are here to prepare the way and to lift up the name of Jesus. Think about the why. Have you ever guys ever done this before? And I know that we have some students in here, and they, as they go through college and they get ready or going into a trade school, you'll think this way because there's a why. Moms and dads know exactly what I'm talking about because you go to work and there's a why. Because you're taking care of your family. You have kids that you've got to take care of. You might have extended people, extended family members that you're having to send checks to. But there's a reason why we work so hard at what we do. And guys, here's the thing. There is a why we serve Jesus, why we come here every Sunday. It's so that others can have an encounter with Christ and experience the same thing we did when Jesus came into our lives. What are they experiencing? Well, they're experiencing freedom from addiction. Life that can only come from Jesus. Saying goodbye to depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts and tendencies and that all these things that I've named all have to bow to the name of Jesus. That they would experience hope. That they would experience true forgiveness. That when someone truly walks into the presence of Jesus, that repentance would flow from their mouths and from their hearts. That they would actually, for the first time maybe, understand the purpose for their life. Air the way out the plan that God has for them. All for what? To prepare the way for Jesus. You see, guys, John the Baptist understood his mission. Think about what we've read. The fulfillment of prophecy and the story of what he did. He understood his mission. So how can I put myself in a place that God can use me in the same way? Well, Luke chapter 1, 76 through 79 says this. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him and to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace." So you would, this is, I think, is good for the church. That we would ask our own selves, what is my mission? Over these next 5 weeks, Jesus, what is my mission? What are you expecting me to do? And you see, John understood it. He understood his purpose. Because of what John was doing, everyone, listen to me, everyone that would come and see him around the river were expecting the Messiah to come. Luke 3:15, during those days, everyone was gripped with messianic expectations, believing the Messiah could come at any moment. And in the New Living Translation, it says it this way, that everyone was expecting the Messiah to come. I want to say this before I get into my points, and I want this to resonate in your heart. There is so much need for Jesus. If there's ever a season for people to experience the living Christ, there is so much need for Jesus right now. And my first thought is this right here. Let's go into this season having a heart of expectancy. We learned in that video that Advent means coming, or the coming, being prepared for the celebrating, will one day come and sin and death and hell will all be conquered forever. This is the Lord that I worship. And I have and I want a heart of expectancy. So I would say this, begin to pray about how will Jesus use you? How is he going to reveal himself to you over these next 4 weeks? And what do you and I need to do to be prepared? Take this thought. Write it in the flyleaf of your Bible, or write it in your notes. When you are expecting something amazing, your expectancy will affect your praise. Okay, just listen, that can be with anything. If you're expecting something amazing, it's just going to change the way that you are in the presence of the Lord. John the Baptist, we know in Scripture, leaped in his mother's womb at the news of the coming of Christ. Let's look at this. I mean, let me give you this story. About 4 or 5 years ago is when President Trump was still in office, and we had flown to Israel. Me and a buddy were going out before the team came, and we were just going to get things ready. And when we landed in Tel Aviv at Ben-Gurion, we got off the plane, and there's just flags everywhere. Flags and President Trump's, and we were like, "What? You know, what's going on?" And they said, "Well, he's coming, and we're preparing for him, and he's going to go to Jerusalem. They're moving the embassy into Jerusalem. They're going to claim Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and he's going to spend time at the Wailing Wall with his family and the delegates." So we were like, okay, you know, didn't really think much of it. Well, we get in our car and we go up to a little town outside of Jerusalem called Abu Ghosh. And we're there and just kind of hanging out and stuff. Well, we were noticing along the way that there was a lot of prep work going on for the President of the United States to be there. Well, when we got into Jerusalem, it went to another level. I've never seen so many barricades and cop cars and cop vans and soldiers and people standing on the streets with flags. And listen, I don't know how you felt about President Trump when he was in office, but let me just tell you this. Israel loves him. And the Arabs, the friendly Arabs, loved him. Listen, the celebration that had taken place. We're sitting there and I'm like, wow, you know, like, I mean, they were prepared. There was preparation that had taken place for the president to come. Now, guys, when he went to the Wailing Wall, they shut the old city down. You weren't getting in there. There's no chance of catching a picture or anything like that. It was just a level of preparation that I had never seen. I just think that we as the church could do the same thing for Jesus this season. That we could just take some time to prepare for what's about to happen. Have a heart of expectancy. Be prepared. Prepare for his coming and your time together. Guys, listen, I want to encourage you. Don't let the next few weeks cause distraction from the spectacle of Christmas. Guys, I love Christmas more than anybody else in this room, I promise you, because I get to do things like this. We get to put Captain Kirk in the Christmas tree. So I'm all about it. I have fun at Christmas time, you guys. Guys, listen. But what happens is you can get distracted by listening to this, because I guarantee you some of us have already done this. You've already scheduled in your calendar parties that you have to be at. There's going to be deadlines, I promise you, in school and at work that are going to have to be met in these past few weeks, in these coming few weeks. There's going to be plans. There's going to be appointments. Husbands and wives, there's going to be arguments. Hello? It's going to happen. Shopping, family, and it's all happening whether you want it to or not. It's all happening. But make sure you leave yourself some room for expectancy. Looking forward to spending time with Christ. Shutting things down and giving yourself a chance just to take a deep breath. Some of us just take a deep breath. Some of us just needed that. How about this one right here? Make sure that you take time to recognize His wonder. Pastor Sharon Kelly was here for the... I just remember sitting there in Wave Church and spoke, and she brought this message called Awe and Wonder. And I just remember sitting there and just thinking, and I want to encourage the church, always be amazed with the story of Jesus coming as a baby. Always find a time to where you can get into Scripture and read the story and just be in awe. Make sure in this season also that you allow your heart to worship. Listen, we just had an incredible worship time, but we can do it outside of church as well. Amen? Spend some time doing that. Find time to do that. Luke 1:41, let me go into the scripture here. It says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, who was John the Baptist, leaped, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. Luke 1:44, that the moment you came in the door, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary, and greeted me, my baby danced inside me with joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. Immediately. Just having a heart of expectancy. Prepare for a new season. I'm praying that you will be filled with joy. I am believing that something exciting is about to happen in your life over these next weeks. I found that if you are excited about Jesus, that it will cause excitement in people's lives that are surrounding you. It's contagious. It can be infectious. Even if they don't know Jesus, your expectancy, your excitement is going to cause somebody to go, wait, what, why? Why are you so excited? Joy. Everybody say joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy of expectancy. Look at this version. This is my favorite. Luke 1:44. The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Come on, have a heart of expectancy. And here's my second thought, and that is point people to the King. If you're looking for this, Luke 3, what is my mission over these next few weeks? It's point people to Jesus. Luke 3:3. It says, speaking of John the Baptist, he went into all the country around the Jordan. In one translation, it says he was on both sides. He was just wherever people were. He wanted to be there, baptizing them and pointing them to Jesus, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Be passionate about Jesus this year. Guys, own it. Have you ever heard somebody tell you to own it? Well, own that amazing privilege, that responsibility of talking about Jesus, putting Jesus in front of people. Opportunities that the Holy Spirit is going to give you. I'm praying. I'm praying that it's going to happen and God's going to use you. Last Friday night, Lori and I were out on our date night. We had gone and eaten, I think, a Baker's Crust or something, and we decided we had eaten too much. So we were going to go walk around Greenbrier Mall. Not a lot to see there anymore, but we get some steps in. And so we went to Greenbrier Mall, and we're walking around and doing a little talking and shopping, whatever. And we were getting ready to head back to Dillard's just to look at something for Lori. And at the last second, I just said, hey, do you need anything from GNC? Because I have a gift card, $20. We can go up. And she goes, yeah, I actually need some vitamins. And I said, all right, let's go. So we went up the escalator. We go in the GNC, and there's a young man in there. And Lori starts asking. So they're looking. I'm off looking at stuff for me. And I come back, and they didn't have it in stock. So they go to the cash register or to the computer, and he's taking all her information. She's just going to pay for it and ship it right to her door. So we're sitting there, and she goes, okay, Matt, we're ready for your gift card. Why go over there? And we're just scanning it. You know, it's showing there's money on there, but it just will not go through. For whatever reason, it wouldn't accept it. And so I said, babe, look, let's just come back when they restock. We'll come back, we'll get some more, and let's not keep taking up his time. She goes, okay. So I started to walk off. Well, guys, Lori got this look in her eyes. I could see it. I've seen it 100 times in our relationship, and I could tell she's about to witness to this guy. And she goes, watch it. And she goes, and this is her exact word. She kind of leaned onto the counter, and she goes, I believe I was supposed to come in here tonight. And he goes, and literally, he was engaged. He leans toward her, and he goes, oh, really? Like, why? And she begins to talk to him about faith, about Jesus, asking him, did he go to church? And he's talking about how he used to, but he's struggling now with how COVID has made him so depressed and filled him with anxiety, and how he's questioning the government, and he's having all these issues. And she just keeps Jesus in front of him. She just keeps pointing him to Christ. And she asks him, can I pray for you? And he goes, of course. And she goes, I promise you, if somebody walks in, I'll stop because I know you. He goes, no, don't even worry about him. Just pray for me. And so they went into prayer, praying for forgiveness, praying for repentance, praying that Jesus will reveal himself in a new way, praying that he will have a new faith, a new risen, exciting faith. And guys, when we got through praying, he just sat back and he goes, wow. Like, and his name is Jordan. Everybody say Jordan. If you pray for somebody this Christmas, pray for Jordan, because he knows where our church is now, and we've invited him to be here. Point people to Jesus. How many of us understand that John the Baptist was passionate about baptizing people? Jesus reminds us in Scripture that John the Baptist is the greatest of all prophets. Matthew 11:11 says it this way, that there is none greater than John the Baptist. In the Passion Translation, it says it this way, that throughout history, there has never been a man who surpasses John the Baptizer. Everybody wiggle your toes. Wiggle them. All 10 of them. Unless you lost one. 9. Just wiggle them around a little bit. Because I'm stepping on my toes as well. Guys, don't let a personality type rob you of a chance to be a blessing for Jesus and for him to bless you. And what I mean by that is that, say, I can't point people to Jesus. I don't, why? Because I'm just not that rob you of it. It's not my personality type. I'm not like that. Don't let the enemy rob you of a chance to have the biggest blessing that you'll ever experience in your life, and that is pointing somebody to Jesus. It's a lot easier than you think it is. You don't even have to do it the way Lori did. Just put on one of those shirts that I bought and walk around. And you'll just be pointing people to Jesus. I pray that you will become kingdom-minded over these next 4 weeks. Remember, we are preparing the way together. Everybody say together. Together. We're doing this together. And this leads me to my third and final thought. If you do anything this Christmas season, make sure that you are preparing the way for the Lord. I think we all need a little bit of prep going into this season. We all need a little bit of preparation for what God is going to do. I get told I use a lot of sports illustrations, and I do. So I've got two for you this time. That's not, one's a sport and one's a not. But I think about in professional sports, after the championship is done, after the finals are done, even the teams that get eliminated, guess what they're doing as soon as that last day ends? They're preparing for what? Next season. Next year. They're already training. They've got their meal plans ready to go. They are executing plans to be better than they were the next year. And that's what's going on in the car industry. They have cars right now for 2023, the releases, that have already been okayed in the upper management, and they're going to be releasing them. They're preparing for this release. And as soon as 2023 is done and accepted, guess what they're doing? They're prepping for 2024 and 2025. It's constantly moving forward. It's always being ready to go. When I got hired at Wet n Wild to be a lifeguard there, we had ridiculous outfits we had to wear. But anyway, besides that, when I went in about 1st of March, they had us come in to work. And me and two other guys, we were put on these little Dutch boy, you know, the blue overalls. And we were hanging off These like 3 and 4, 17, I didn't think about it, but painting them on the outside. Guys, when I think about doing that now, when I was 17, I didn't think about it, but now I would never do what I was doing off of that because it was not, what is it? Is it OSHA approved? Dude, it was terrible when I think about it. And so anyway, we're painting and well, he calls us down. He says, all right, take off your overalls. And he goes, I want you to go down the slide. They turned on the water and they said, anywhere you feel the slide grab your skin, remember where it is. And then we're going to go back up and we're going to sand it down and polish it. So we would go down the slides, you're just hitting all the corners and whatever. And you get down and he's looking at our back and he goes, okay, where'd you hit? And we're like, that corner, you know. And so guys, they'd turn it off and we would walk up with the sanders and the buffers and we would buff out these slides. And we would do it over and over and over until those slides were like butter. Now guys, listen to this. There's not a lot of water parks out there that have a bunch of slides that you just go down skin on slide. But if you do find one, the fastest way to go down a slide is on your shoulder blades and your heels. Keep everything up off the slide and you'll go so fast it'll almost launch you out of the tube. Am I supposed to tell everybody that? So what we were doing was that when we got every slide ready, we did it until all slides in the park were ready to go. Why? Because we were preparing for the people that were going to come and enjoy that park. There was prep work that was being put in. Mark 1:3, John was a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him. John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus in every sense of the imagination. From his birth to his message and to his death. Let me give you a little bit of background. His birth, he was born before Jesus and he hit the ground running and began to prepare the way for the Lord. His message that he was preaching was pointing people. It was already just death, although it's where Jesus was ever baptized and able to do his time in ministry. And then his death, although it's not the same, Jesus' death on the cross, there's nothing that can touch it, but it foreshadowed the death of Jesus, that there will be persecution of all who are faithful for God. Guys, look, Matthew Henry comments it this way. You guys take a look at this. It's no new thing for God's ministers, those who prepare the way to suffer ill for doing well. Troubles remain with those most who are most diligent and faithful in doing their duty. Guys, having Harvest Assembly on the corner of Kempsville and Greenbrier, it's not just a good thing, it's a God thing. And I want you to think about this, because God doesn't make mistakes. It's not a mistake that Harvest is where it is located. God doesn't do anything by accident. It is not a coincidence that Harvest Assembly is on the corner of Greenbrier and Kempsville. God knew where Harvest Assembly was going to be before the pilgrims ever came across the Atlantic Ocean. There was a time, it was being prepared for this church to be here and to make a difference in this land, in this county. God has always known that this would be a place that would build his kingdom and prepare the way for his son Jesus. Those who are of the way, we understand that Jesus came to us as a baby. We also understand that he died on the cross for us and was raised on the third day. But what we also take glory and joy in, everybody say joy. That one day he will return again soon for those who believe in him. Come on, church. I mean, if we're preparing for anything, it's for his soon return. Amen. If there's anything that comes out of the Advent season is that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is going. And let me say it this way, we need to be prepared. You know, I went, I've been to Israel like 20-something times, and I go to Wailing Wall, and so these are just some pictures that I've taken. And there was one year that I'd been there for years, and one year I decided, you know, I've seen these guys, if you may have seen this, look at this real quick video. You ever seen them doing this right here? You know, so I thought, I've never done that before, you know? So I was feeling really emotional. We were there for an hour. I told people, if you want to shop, you want to go to the Wailing Wall, I'm going to the Wailing Wall to pray. So I go down there. I've got my phone, I've got my Psalms that I'm going to read. And guys, I just get up there and I start doing this, you know, and I'm praying. And guys, you know, about 10 minutes pass, and next thing you know, I'm into it. I'm doing this. You know, I'm praying like this. I'm praying to the north, the south, the east, the west. But I'm just rocking it out, literally. And about 50 minutes into it, I realize it's time to go. And so I'm backing up, facing the wall, just being, you know, respectful of how they want you to do it. And I took off my kippah. And guys, I realize I'm tired. Like, I'm tired from what I just did. When I woke up the next morning, my neck, my ribs, my abs, my lower back was all tender because, guys, listen, I wasn't prepared to worship that way. Is everybody with me on that? I wasn't prepared. I hadn't done that before. And, guys, check this out. We cannot prepare the way for Jesus if we are not daily walking it out with God. Those guys can do that for hours upon hours because they do it daily. So if we're going to walk it out with God, if we're going to prepare the way for the Lord, we got to do it daily, a daily desire. Have you ever been to an event, any kind? I don't care, conference, a party, somebody's house. And the minute you walk through the door, you know there wasn't a lot of prep work. Chips are stale. You know what I mean? Cokes are all flat. You know, whatever. You know, you've gone to a conference last year. They had somebody amazing singing. You go this year and they don't have anything going on. You know, there's just not a lot of prep work. Preparing the way for the Lord. That during this Advent season, we need to be prepared. Preparing the way for the Lord. That it would become important for us and clear to us that we would get all obstacles out of the way. Pastor Brad brought this last week so well. Get it all out of the way so that we can prepare the way for the Lord. Guys, there's a song by Bethel called Prepare the Way, and I want to just read you a couple of lyrics from it. It says, "We have heard the revival stories of ancient and old time glory. Spirit of God, come do it again. Miracle working power, moving in signs and wonders. Spirit of God, come do it again. Prepare the way. He's coming through. Ready or not, our God is on the move. We're going to see heaven on earth. Come, Holy Spirit, awaken your church." Let me say it this way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Because, guys, listen, whether you're ready or not, our God is on the move. He's moving. Ready or not, God is on the move. I'm going to close this up and our worship team is going to come up. Can we give our worship team another hand? It's just amazing worship. I'm going to ask Brad just to get on the keys and give me something there. And guys, I was reading in the book of John, okay? And there was a scripture that I'm going to read to you here in a second, and I was studying it. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and there's some paraphrasing and some commentary, and it pointed me to Daniel chapter 12, Verse 3. And I was like, what in the world has this got to do with? And so I went to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, and this is what it says. And this is out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And it says this: "Those who are wise will shine like the bright expanse of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness," basically, listen, those who point people to Jesus, "are like stars." Forever and ever. Path. And the message, it says that you're putting others on the right path. That's what we're doing. So I read the scripture, and then the commentary, the guy, the commentator who wrote this, he said this right here. Here in this scripture that you've just read, he is saying this: the wise among God's people are those who turn many to righteousness. So in the eyes of God, wisdom is the men and women, the students, who will point people to Jesus, and you will burn as bright as a star. John knew his mission, and it was preparing the way for the Messiah. And so here's the scripture. Here's the one it's all referring to. John 5:35, and this is Jesus talking. "John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light." In the message, it says it this way, that John was a torch blazing and bright. I want Jesus to see me this way. I want to be a torch for him.
I want Harvest to be known as a beacon of light, and that it is the light that always shines for Jesus. Can I get an amen? So what is our mission? What is it? Let's say it again. It's having a heart of expectancy. It's pointing people to Jesus and preparing the way for his soon return. And that we would prepare the way together. Everybody say together. That we do it together. Guys, in a second, if you are capable of walking, we're all going to come down here. We're going to worship with Joppy and the worship team. We're going to all come down here and worship together. But I want to do this. We did this in the first service. So just let me pray real quick. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for any and